What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to Footy Prime News and Dubs, your one-stop destination for footy news and dubs. Yeah, that's Amy Walsh. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
You guys ever get those viruses on planes? And you enter the plane and you feel just great. You feel amazing. And like you're going to come home and you're going to take on the world. And then 3 hours into the flight, like the sinuses start saying, nah, nah, no, I'm going to fuck you up. You're going to have a shitty weekend when you get back there. You ever get those ones?
No.
No.
Well, you guys fly first class, right? You guys fly in the front where it's better air, probably. Maybe that's why. I feel like a bag of shit.
Oh, you look great.
Thanks, guy. I appreciate it.
Portuguese that, shit, though. That's
yeah.
Great. Yeah.
I suppose so, yeah. Anyway, it's Footy Prime. And yeah, I'm back, and Jimmy's here, and Craig's here, and Dubs, Hotel Dubs is here. JC is here. Wonga's on his way back from the East Coast. He'll be back in time for Monday. But yeah, I hope you're all doing well. Jimmy, I sent you a picture this morning. I'm going to post it on the Twitter feed as well, and Instagram. We got your shirt signed by Ruby Costa.
Brilliant. You finally found them, huh? That was kind of like, where's Waldo for you?
Yeah, well, we didn't actually find him. So if you didn't know, I was in Lisbon recently doing some stories on Benfica, and Jimmy played against the great Rui Costa back in 2007 for TFC when Rui Costa played for Benfica, and they exchanged shirts. So part of this trip, a little storyline we're doing is finding Rui Costa to sign Jimmy's shirt. But, you know, it's a week of the Super Cup. It's a weird week in Portugal because it was World Youth Day and all the Portuguese Lisbonites, is that what you call Lisbonites? They're all out of town. Right, so it's all kind of messed up. So we couldn't find Rui, but we left the shirt there with people we trusted, and we got a photograph today with the signed shirt. So we'll get that back to where it belongs as soon as possible. But it's pretty cool. That shirt is now worth millions, Jimmy.
No, because it probably swapped and it's a replica now.
Yeah, probably.
Are Lisbonites like Mennonites?
Lisbonites,
you just made that up, didn't you?
Mennonites? No, they're real things.
No, Lisbonites.
Lisbopudlians? Lisbonians?
I'm surprised Rui wasn't looking for you, Sharms.
You know, he bloody well should have been, shouldn't he? I guess our podcast doesn't reach that far just yet, but it will do. We'll get there eventually, I promise you. But yeah, amazing trip, amazing club, amazing city. And we'll have to all go out there at some point, won't we? Huh? Do some on-location pod records.
From, it blew a tire
Estadio
right here.
Deluge. Holy crap, that was the scariest, one of the scariest few hours of my life, driving to the Iveria, which is where the Super Cup is being played. it's a three-hour drive, and we're driving in this car. We're going to post, we did a video on this afterwards to kind of decompress. So we're driving with our driver, Diogo, who's just the loveliest guy you could ever meet, but he also weighs about 750 pounds. I've never seen anything like it, honestly. Cramped up in this car. That's irrelevant. Really, it's not part of the story, but just to paint the picture. So yeah, but
was it, was it the front tire where he was sitting that popped?
Well, no, it wasn't, amazingly. There's four of us plus camera gear plus Diogo crammed into this car. And they drive fast in Portugal, right? He is belting up this highway at 180. And he's hitting turns, and like the whole car's like leaning. And we're like, holy Jesus Christ, steady on. And then out of nowhere, bang! And we're like, what the hell is that? And we look back, I see some rubber flying behind us. But he keeps driving as if nothing. And there were Dean Blundell, and our camera guys, Michael, and Jeff Nesco, of course, friend of the show. And we're looking like, what? Diogo, like, he goes, it's fine, no worries. And like, it is not good. Like, that was a huge explosion, it felt like, at 180. He drives for 20 more minutes. And then another bang, go. At that point, like, Diogo, pull over. He's so calm, as if this happens every day. Like, he pulls over, like, with cars, like, bouncing and stuff through traffic. We pull over on the side of this crazy highway. And we get out, and the tire is absolutely shredded. Like, there's nothing left to it. I've got pictures. I'm going to post them as well. There's nothing left. Like, oh, my God. Like, we are actually extremely fortunate. So we change the tire. Meanwhile, this car's flying by 3 inches from us, this narrow highway. We put the little small wheel on, the spare tire, and we make sure Diogo, look, it's 80 kilometers an hour maximum. Don't go faster. Oh, yeah, no problem. Then 100 kilometers later, we're going along. Another explosion. That blows as well.
Oh, my God.
That one blows. And we're like, you got to pull over. You think so? Like, yes, we fucking think so. Pull over again. So he pulls over. That one's just done. Finished off the rim. Had to call an Uber on the side of the highway. So this three-hour journey took us like 5 hours to get to the Supertaça, Benfica Porto. Amazing, amazing stadium. Amazing match. Incredible match, actually. And then on the way home, another Uber story, which is I won't get into right now. But yeah, it was absolutely terrifying. We're fortunate we're even here right now, honestly. It was nuts. So that was my story, getting to the Portuguese Supertaça.
Great Super adventure. Cup.
It was an adventure, right? Yeah. But yeah, what a place. It was fantastic. But now we're getting into Premier League gear, right? Starts as we can. We're going to look at the season very shortly. But before we get to that, Dubs, you're still awake. You had a long one. Another early one.
Yeah.
Women's World Cup quarterfinals have begun, and a couple of absolute doozies, by the way. Should we start with the Sweden-Japan match? I think that's fair enough. That's the one. I think that's a better match, right? 2-1. I didn't watch the entire match. I won't lie to you. But I've watched extended highlights.
Did you watch any of the match?
Extended highlights. I watched that. And what I saw, it was incredible. An amazing match in Sweden. Absolutely brilliant and full value to get to the semifinals.
Yeah, so well-deserved. I didn't think, though, that, you know, Japan would be sort of out-Japaned. Like, Sweden took it completely to them, and they didn't adjust or adapt the way I would have expected them to. So it was two things. It was Sweden, who had a game plan. They executed it to perfection. They were on the ball. They dominated possession, which I was also not expecting. And they pressed high. They swarmed the ball. So when they did lose it, they were counter-pressing. And Japan, to me, if there's a team that's press resistant, say other than Spain, it would be Japan, because they're just such composure, such quality on the ball. But they were wasteful, a little bit in possession, more so than I'd ever seen them so far this tournament. I mean, they haven't had a perfect tournament, but like as near perfect as it gets. So it was surprising to see Sweden be so dominant. I expected that Sweden's path to victory was going to be set pieces. And actually a really cool stat going into this game is that not only were they lethal on set pieces, like on attacking corners, any dead ball situations in a final third, but 27% of all of their shots that they generated thus far were as a result of set pieces. So it was not only just the set pieces themselves, but what was occurring after the fact. But they were just so much more than that. And they almost played a box in the midfield with Aslani and Rolfa kind of drifting in, not inverted, but just as a way to prevent Japan from playing through them, to kind of clog up the middle. But then it became not just a tactic to stop Japan sort of making them look vulnerable. It became a way for them to win the ball up high and to just go at them consistently. And then Japan pushed back a little bit in the second half, but, you know, it didn't really mean a whole lot. And there was like 10 minutes of added time, but they end up sort of squeaking one out, but very, very dominant by Sweden. And for me, like very convincing. So they're a veritable contender now, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, Japan, what, a penalty off the bar? They got a free kick off the bar off the keeper. It somehow didn't go in. I mean, yep. Regardless, had they have scored those two goals, would that have been unfair in Sweden, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it was a couple of substitutions. I think it was two things. It was Gerhardsen. I mean, you say it all the time, you know, 2-0 is like the worst lead in sports, not just football, right? And he takes out the two players I just mentioned in Rolfa and Aslani, and he subs them out at around the 70th minute. And then Ikeda, for his part, for Japan, he made a mistake, I think, in not starting Junendo on that left flank. He brings her in at halftime. That starts to turn the tide a little bit. And then he makes another substitute for Tanaka, who has three assists, and he brought in Ueki. And she really kind of started to right the ship in terms of the attack, providing a focal point. And it was like the two things, like bringing off Rolfa and Aslani, made Sweden sort of weaker down the middle, and then those other subs for Japan. But it was really only 20 minutes, maybe, you know, the if you count the added time, half an hour. But it was by and large, it was all Sweden, despite the two things that you just mentioned, the free kick off the bar, and then the penalty that probably should have been converted as well.
So we're going to have a new World Cup winner.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it?
That is
fantastic.
It's good for the sport, isn't it? Shows how big the sport's getting. Japan, they were the darlings of this tournament, weren't they? But now, is it Sweden who are the darlings of the tournament? Or is that still to be determined, depending what happens with Colombia?
Yeah, I think still to be determined. I do think, though, that it'll be an all, like Forrest, you were talking in the dark web, that it could be an all-European semifinal. I think it will be. I think that France will take care of Australia, and I think that England will. I don't think they sail through, but I think Colombia is kind of reached the end, I think, of the run here.
Is Sam Kerr going to be able to start?
I don't know. I don't think so. No. There's been a lot of gamesmanship, you know, but I mean, you see the buzz, like just Sam Kerr walking around. She's got her warm-up kit on, and then she's got her proper kit with her in the stadium, you know, 75,000 plus just come to life and start buzzing. And then they get that insurance goal against Denmark. And I think maybe they don't put her in, you know, like, cause do you need her now, or, you know, the risk versus reward, do you put her in and allows her to get her footing and maybe just grow? And cause a calf injury, it's a bit dodgeball, right? Especially for a player like her, who's so pacey, so explosive, like how fit is she really? And yeah. Then she has that awful fall that we talked about already, or you guys alluded to, and it did not look great.
Will they miss James?
Yes, England will miss James. But I think you saw Wiegemann pivot in the absence of Walsh. And I think they do a similar thing here in the absence of James. And I think that they cope. They have enough depth and quality to do that.
It's interesting with Sam Kerr. Comes a point in a tournament where the team's doing really well without their superstar player. And obviously there's pressure to get that player back in there. But at some point, do you not start thinking to yourselves, listen, it isn't worth the risk right now. We're good without her. We've found a way to succeed without our star player playing, perhaps mm-hmm. slightly differently. A strong coach will realize that, will they not? And say, you know what? If you're 100%, of course you get in the team, but we're not going to put you in there just for the sake of it.
Yeah, you hope that's what he's saying, because, you know, they played a near perfect game against Canada. I don't think Canada played particularly well, but Australia played a very, very good game. And then they built on that. And the way that he shifted Van Egmen to the top, and then they have Ford and Catley on that left-hand side and Raso on the right. If you reinsert Kerr into that lineup, then it throws that balance off a little bit. So I think you keep them the same, at least to start. And then maybe you have a plan for using Kerr for half an hour, or you have a plan for putting her in at halftime. I think that's what you need to do there. But she's also Sam Kerr, so she's ready
that's
to go.
Precisely. And I mean, listen,
put her in there, right?
They're playing France, right? And difference makers are so important. Right now, the odds is at +241 and TonyBet. France favorites at +118, just about, which is probably fair. Mm-hmm. But that's not obviously taking into consideration the home support, which would be fervent, to say the very least.
Yeah. What do you do, Jimmy, as a gaffer there?
I don't know. It's a difficult one, because when it's tournament play and your teams start to get into a rhythm and they're performing, winning games. Sometimes if you do have that superstar, does it change the dynamic of the team? Mm-hmm. And is it worth taking that risk? It might work, it might not, but at least you know what you're going to get with the players that are filling in right now, because the more you end up playing together, as you guys know, the more in sync you become, the better rhythm you end up getting through matches. And so I wouldn't start her. I think at some point during the game, you'd look to bring her on if you could, but I would rely on the players that are in there right now, because then you're showing a sense of loyalty as well, saying you guys have got us this far. You guys have gelled together. You've performed, you're scoring goals. Plus they've had a clean sheet the last match. Mm-hmm. Do you want to change anything? I wouldn't change anything at all.
If she was 100% fit, I would think you have to put her in. You'd have to figure out a way, because she's that dominant, don't you think, Amy? But on the other hand, if she's not, I think the situation as it is, she can be, if she can come off the bench and give us some of Australia something, that would be the best case for now, I think.
Yeah, but it's probably, the fact is, if you do see Sam Kerr, it's because things aren't going right for Australia. Let's be honest here, right? To risk her, it means they're down to France in the semi, in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I mean, I guess you're looking at her as a player, and you don't want to put her in a situation where she's going to make it worse and she's going to be on the shelf for a really long time. But like, I think if you're weighing risk versus reward, what do you have to lose at this point? Like if you're, say you're down a goal or two at halftime, put her out there.
I wonder what Chelsea have to say about all this as well.
Good point. Yeah. Fuck Chelsea. I'm pissed off with Chelsea right now. We'll get to Moises Caicedo later on. God almighty, what a gong show. Spain beat the Netherlands. Another really good one there. Van de Graaff scores late in the game, playing up front. This is a defender. We should mention by the way, Illestet, who's the defender, has 4 goals in the tournament, could get the golden boot. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah. And she scores, that was her 12th goal for country. And that's the lone goal that she's not scored with her head.
Really one-dimensional.
Yeah. That was a good match, though. I enjoyed that. I really like watching that Spanish team play.
Oh, they're brilliant, aren't they? They really are fun to watch.
You know, like, I didn't understand what the manager did, though. You know, you've got 12 minutes of extra time to play, right? You know that's coming. And then you take off Bonmati, who's got a wicked engine. It was flying all around the pitch. You take off Hernandez. You take those two players off, and then all of a sudden, Holland scores. And you got 12 minutes left to play. And I didn't understand that substitution, taking those two off. I thought, just ride them. The team's playing well. There's no issues. You're not under pressure. And then you make those two substitutions, and all of a sudden, you know, the tide changed, and it went in favor of Holland. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, because Berenstain had a couple of shots on that boot that could have changed the course of that game. Hey,
yeah,
yeah.
Great winner though, wasn't it? Was it Paralelo?
Yeah, she's good. She's young too. What is she? 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's a winner fit to win any game, isn't it?
Well, you think as well. Where was it? The 111th minute or something like that, and she's still going full tilt. Her engine is ridiculous. Still wanting to take players on. She must have ran, 40 yards to get that goal? 40, 50 mm-hmm. yards?
Yeah, when did she... She was substituted on, wasn't she?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember when exactly, but what impressed me about the Spanish...
She didn't start, though, did she?
I don't think so, no. The urgency of the Spanish team in particular, the Dutch were pretty good that way too, but my goodness, they have a vision when they receive the ball. They never stop it. It's always mm-hmm. moving. Their coaching is excellent. Goalkeepers, I thought both sides, Holland and Spain, were great.
Yeah.
Spain's had issues with the Netherlands keeper's feet, did you not, Forrest?
Yeah, she strikes a good ball, but it worries me a little bit that way. But yeah, her positioning and her, she's brave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Spain's favorites to win the whole thing now. They've jumped over England. Of course, England playing today. By the time we record Monday, I'm sure England will be favorites if they beat Colombia. That's how it works. what have you done for me lately? But Spain right now are plus 185 on Tony Bet. England's second favorite at plus 251. Sweden plus 453. That's interesting. And France at plus 456. If you want to go in a real, so you want to sprinkle some money, some hope here, Dubs,
no
Colombia?
No one wants to sprinkle anything anywhere.
You doing a sprinkle in Colombia?
No. God.
Plus 3,098. It's pretty decent.
Hey, Dubs, you know, you're talking about, you know, the Swedish league, and I know there's, I think there's 8 squad players playing in the WSL in England from Sweden. They do have some domestic players, but how that league has slipped down. So I looked at the coefficiency going back to 2005, and there was a number of Swedish teams in the top 10, as well as a couple of Danish teams in Norway as well. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to, well, if you'd come to this day, and you've got Barcelona, Lyon, Wolfsburg, Paris, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, Arsenal, City, Juventus, Atletico Madrid, not a single Scandinavian side.
Yeah.
It just shows you where the game's going, and how these clubs are now just going, hold on a minute, there's something to be done here, and they're just, the WSL, killing it. I think there might be only coming to the semifinals, there might be one player from the American League. Otherwise, they're all playing in Europe.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the way it shifted. I think the Swedish League, though, do they not, and you guys might know more about this than I do, because I think it's the same for the men's league, that there's that 51% rule, that 51% has to be owned by like the supporters.
Right. I'm not sure. I know that's like Germany.
I think I was reading an article and they were alluding to that sort of stifles the growth a little bit and the investment in it. If I'm not mistaken, but they also were pointing to the fact that the league has slipped and it's become a league that's more for homegrown players and development of the youth than it is, you know, where they're, if you look at the national team where you're going to see like the big names toiling at home, you're not seeing that anymore in the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah, it's basically looks a lot like the men's game. Same thing, Sweden. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, domestic guys, nobody great. All the Swedish players are playing elsewhere because the money's not there. So you got these big juggernauts, these massive brands and clubs now taking over. It's going to be hard for them to compete.
Well, Dubs, I know you touched it on the last broadcast, which is great, by the way. Really enjoyed that one.
Although
maybe that's what got me sick because I listened to it on the way home yesterday.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
But no, I think you should do one, you know, after the World Cup, looking at the state of the women's game as far as internationally, and NWSL, of course, is still enormous, top quality. You've got the WSL growing every single season. And what with Project 8, you know, coming to fruition in a year or two from now, what is the model looking like internationally? Where should the top players be going? Where do you recommend to the young players in Project 8 to you know, further their careers? Is it staying in North America? Is it go to a European league? Get Diana on there, yourself, Claire, and Rian. I think it'd be a really good conversation. We tried it on the dark web before coming on there today, and you got all surly and angry with us. So I think it's probably best that you are surrounded by some more educated voices.
Oh my God.
Than us, not you.
Right, yeah, that's what you were getting at. Yeah,
I was, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think that I didn't get prickly, but I just think that the league's finally coming. Let's allow the league to get its footing. Let's allow it to grow and to hopefully prosper and to be that, you know, talking about Sweden and those leagues, they have their domestic leagues. And if that has shifted or pivoted and it's there for the development of the youth players as infrastructure there to develop, then great. That's what Canada is desperate for. And then after that, you worry about it being a springboard to better leagues, I think. So, okay, and whether that's
prickly. You weren't prickly, but you definitely bristled.
I mean, via text. Is it because I didn't say LOL after my text?
At least give us an emoji. It's hard to tell tone sometimes in the dark web, you know?
I usually do the straight-faced emoticon.
Okay, so when
is Bontis emoticon.
When is the next broadcast, by the way? Have you gotten scheduled yet?
No, I don't know.
What are you waiting for? We're trying to give you a platform here.
I don't know. waiting for direction, I guess.
It'd be a good one before the semifinals, I think.
Yep.
It makes JC, it makes sense, does it not?
Confirmed.
Yeah, there we go. Everyone loves you guys more than us, apparently. I'm seeing Twitter and stuff, and you love to remind us of it, don't you?
I know, eh? You're more or less telling us we stink.
What was that?
I said you're more or less telling us we stink.
Me?
Just forwarding those tweets, you know. We hate those other shows, but the Brawl Stars
other guys suck.
I think I know what you caught on a plane, Charmin.
Also lettuce?
Yeah, or bitterness.
Okay, come on, Premier League, let's go.
Oh, okay, Prem, sure. She's upset. Hey, Dubs, come on.
I mean, I think, like, how dare you, Premier League? The Women's World Cup is still going on. How dare you?
Yeah.
I love the Premier League as much as anybody else, but fucking take a back seat for once.
I think you're going to be just fine in this conversation. I want to get to the hopeometer you drew our attention to from The Athletic, which is brilliant. Let's get to that in a little bit. But first of all, right now, as it stands at the moment, Harry Kane, we believe, is still in England. The deal has been done, but there's some finalizing of the deal. After he apparently wavered a little bit, Craig. I'm not sure if he wavered or not. I have no idea.
Waffle.
But it seemed to me as if waffle. Is there waffle or a waver? Is there a difference?
I don't know. One's tastier.
One's definitely tastier. Yeah. Love a good waffle in the morning.
Harry's so desperate for trophies, he's got to go to Bayern Munich to guarantee himself a league title.
That's fine. But I mean, it's waffling, wavering. I mean, it couldn't have been too bad. You would think that Bayern Munich were pretty confident of him agreeing terms when they kept negotiating, right, with Bayern Munich. Don't you think?
What's he waiting for?
I don't know.
It's a weird one. What, you're gonna stay at Tottenham, win nothing? You got Bayern Munich, one of the biggest clubs in the world, that want you big time, are splashing a lot of cash for you, unless he's waiting for a bigger club in England to come along.
See, I read somewhere there's a consideration that maybe other clubs were waiting for Bayern and Spurs to agree on a deal, so you know what the price was. Let them do all that hard work and then swoop in and say, we'll match you 86 mil and we'll keep you in England. Hasn't happened yet, just yet. So
kind of the same what Liverpool's doing?
Oh my God, the Moises Caicedo situation. That was crazy. So Chelsea have been after this guy forever, since last season. They come close to an agreement with Brighton. Brighton have been waffling and wavering. And then at the 12th hour, last night, just before I went to bed quite early last night, it's broken that Liverpool have actually agreed a fee with Brighton for Caicedo. And Caicedo is leaning towards Liverpool. But then this morning I wake up and now it's switched again, apparently. Last I heard, he only wants to go to Chelsea, and that was Fabrizio Romano, who's generally right about these things. Is it just Liverpool getting involved to push up the price, let Chelsea spend more money and then go in a different direction, or have they been played here by...
No, they want Caicedo. They want him big time. They need him in the middle of the park. But with Liverpool, what was it? I read that 111 million that they bid for him now.
It's a lot of money,
but he's still, but his heart is really wants to play for Chelsea. But you've got McAllister, who's gone to Liverpool, one of your teammates, who you know and you're comfortable playing in the middle of the park with, and you're going to a monster club in Liverpool. Why would you not? Why would you not go there? Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, he's been talking with Chelsea for ages, for months and months. They've got a deal in place, or so we are told originally. So he's obviously been seduced by Chelsea for a while. And London compared to Liverpool, let's just geographically, he's staying in the south. He's more comfortable there, perhaps. It's a different beast entirely playing in the northwest. I don't know. Maybe that's why. Neither team is offering Champions League football this year.
No, that's the other issue.
I thought Liverpool said they weren't going to be bidding something into the 100 million range. That changed, didn't it?
Klopp said a couple of years ago, if ever they buy a player for 100 million, he'll have to quit because it's ridiculous. But this morning at a press conference, he walked it back. Yeah, he goes, you know what? I was wrong. So fair play, Jürgen. At least he admits it.
Maybe they thought they were bidding for Linda Caicedo.
Who's Linda Caicedo? Oh, Linda Caicedo, the footballer. She's great. Quite the story.
Maybe she's going to Liverpool.
Maybe. Well, the women's team needs some players. But I don't think they're going to spend 100 million just yet on Linda Caicedo. Given what they've put down on that team so far, I don't see it happening. I'll tell you this much, though. I mean, if they have that money available to them, it's going to be a crazy month coming up, crazy 3 weeks, because the window doesn't close until the 31st or the 1st, right? So you see a lot of big players move right to the very deadline. Yes, that's my dog barking. Is that your laughing, Dubs?
Yeah. It takes very little to amuse me. I'm on like 2 hours of sleep.
Normally that means breakfast, doesn't it, Charms?
Yeah, it does. Waffles. But yeah, it'd be interesting because if they got that money available to them, there'd be other targets, you would think. I don't know who they're going to be, but that's why we do these preview shows and these preview of seasons before the season opener, which makes sense. But as we all know, these teams could look very different by the end of August. So we'll do another one then, perhaps go team by team at that point. What do you think?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of changes. There's going to be loads of changes.
After the first couple of games, they're still figuring it all out.
The Harry Kane thing, they say, is imminent to Bayern Munich.
It's imminent now, is it?
Yeah.
I've heard that word before.
Like, don't you think he's the perfect fit, though, to go play for Tuchel at Bayern?
Oh, he'll kill it. He'll kill it.
So again, I don't get the reticence. Like, is it on his part? Because it like Spurs is seemed fine with it, right?
Yeah,
I think it's his.
Spurs would rather sell him to somebody outside the country. They don't want him coming back scoring goals.
Yeah, because right? He knows if he goes to a bigger club, he's going to bang in goals in the Premier League. You know that he can do that. But then I'm hearing now that if he does go to Bayern, then Tottenham's going to go after Lukaku.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he works so well for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I would go for Osimhen myself. John David's been mentioned as well. That's been, there's a rumor out there. Obviously not as a replacement for Harry Kane. That's a bit unfair, but
no.
That whole track's gone very quiet, the whole John David leaving Lille, to the point where his manager last week said, ain't happening. It's not going to happen. He's going to be playing at Lille to start the season. So I don't know.
Good for Lille.
Tough, but Craig, I mean, to replace Harry Kane, whoever it's going to be, I mean, that's going to be big shoes to fill, obviously. Doesn't always work out.
They're not winning anything with the goals that Harry Kane's got given
us.
So.
That is true. Yeah.
They've got a long way to go.
All right. So Dubs brought our attention to this great little piece in The Athletic, the Premier League Hopometer or Hopometer. Is it a hopometer or a hopometer? Regardless, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I think it's a hopometer.
Hopometer?
Yeah.
Not hopometer? Because kilometer in England, you're kilometer. Or is it kilometer in England? Kilometer's here, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, shit. Shut up, Jimmy.
But a hopometer would be something that you do to like get your heart rate up. This is a hopometer. It's measuring hope.
Is that what the U.S. soccer use for Hope Solo?
Yeah, something like
that. Get out the hopometer. How's she feeling today? Put her in goal. Get her those gloves.
It's like your driver. You hop up and down. You see how much jiggles. And if a lot jiggles, then you go back out and you run some more laps.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'll be running a little
and
laps.
Then you skip lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's not that important how you pronounce it. If you could explain, Dubs, exactly what it is.
Right. So it's The Athletic that did it. So they were taking a look at the Premier League teams, and they said the title is it's the Premier League Hope-O-Meter, how followers of The Athletic feel about their club's chances in the 2023-24 season. So green is optimistic and red is pessimistic. I know this is an audio medium, but it's going from most optimistic to least optimistic or most pessimistic. And at the top is Villa, 99%. Optimistic about their team's chances. Then Bournemouth, Brighton, Chelsea, Newcastle, Arsenal, I guess we're going to do the top six. And the bottom is Jimmy Brennan's Forest, Wolves, Crystal Palace, Everton, Sheffield United, and West Ham. And the biggest surprise I didn't mention, just out of the top six, Luton Town.
Amazing. Well, they can't believe their luck. They're in the Premier League for the first time.
90% optimistic. But
that's amazing.
They're just happy to be there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Good for them.
Yeah.
They're optimistic to finish 20th.
They're up there, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, listen, Luton's a nice little story, but let's be honest, that's probably all it's going to be, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a small club who their stadium isn't even ready to start the season. You look at what they did. That they brought in some big names like Ryan Giles and Tahith Chong, Mads Andersen. So not exactly household names here. According to Transfer Market, the total value of their roster is 61.2 million euros. And that's the lowest of any Premier League team since 2014-15 with Burnley. And they finished 19th that season. So, but Luton fans don't care. Like I said, this isn't like even a project to, you know, sustainability to stay in the Prem forever. I think this would be a fun for a year or so. So why shouldn't they be happy? They should be happy. Should be pumped.
Yeah. I mean, look, let's be honest. They're in a situation. They know that they're not going to spend a lot of money because they know they're going to be coming back down as well. They can't sustain it staying in the Premier League. There's no way. That's why I think the maximum they spent was like the highest transfer was 4 or 5 million.
Yeah, exactly. I think five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
They know they're playing smart now. They're going to enjoy it, get a little parachute payment, and then start building.
I love that Villa fans are happy, though, so happy. And so they should be. They started the season so badly last year under Stevie Gerrard. In comes Unai Emery, and then they just turn it around. And after Christmas, the second best record in all of England, actually, outside of Man City. And they've spent money. Moussa Diaby comes in for 55 million. So right back, Jimmy, a fullback, 55 million. Nah, don't even blink at it nowadays, do you? It's crazy. Pau Torres, center back from Villarreal, 33 mil. Yuri Tillemans comes for free. He could have gone to a number of clubs, right? He's a good player. Yeah. And the fact that he chooses Aston Villa, Jimmy, that says a lot about Unai Emery and this team.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, you look at last season, the way that Villa was playing as well towards the end. They're playing some good football. They brought in some good pieces. They'll be up there. They'll be up there throughout this season. I'll tell you one club that I like, and they always spend wisely, very, very wisely, is Bournemouth. And I like some of the additions that they got this year.
Yeah, they brought in a few. They have, yeah. About Emery, though, remember when you took over, they had 12 points from 13 games. He went on to win 15 of the next 25.
Yeah.
And really impressive football. What a turnaround. You don't see that very often when managers come in. I think Tuchel did it when he came in for Lampard. But generally, you don't see that kind of improvement. But
they were fifth best in the league since Emery took over. Villa. Fifth.
Yeah. And they've added some good pieces. And that's the thing. The players can see that.
The guy from Leverkusen, Diaby, 14 goals for Leverkusen, 10 assists. He's going to add something too. They got some more depth. Yeah. A very exciting team to watch this year.
You mentioned Bournemouth, Jimmy. I'm just looking now. They have spent some money. Junior Triori, 25 mil from Sassuolo. Milos Kerkes from Alkmaar, 17.8. Romain Favre from Lyon, 15 mil. Justin Kluivert from Roma, 11.2. I'm not going to pretend I know anything about these players. That would be a big bullshit to the audience.
Yeah, no, but a lot of them are kind of younger, maybe not proven. They got Alex Scott as well from Bristol City. They took Max Aarons. I don't remember if you guys remember. Max Aarons was actually linked with Barcelona at one point.
Norwich, right?
From Norwich, yeah. Mm-hmm. Norwich right back. So they brought in some good little pieces.
And more importantly, the manager, right?
Yeah.
Remember Gary O'Neill did so well, and I think a lot of people were surprised when he got canned because he did do a good job there. And then they bring in one of the hottest properties in European football, Andoni Iraola, who was great with Rayo Vallecano. They really outperformed where they should be. He apparently loves chaos. He prefers chaos to stagnation. They're a fun team. He'll play an explosive style of football. We'll see.
Who's that?
A new star in the Prem. The new manager, Iraola.
What a tip.
Iraola. What? What are you saying?
What a tip.
Oh, I see. You're making a nipple joke there.
Oh my gosh, Sharms, you are sick.
I am. I'm totally missing this. Totally. It's going right in my head. I've got a suspicion, though, that might be a joke we hear more of over the coming months from Jimmy. That might be a name that we mentioned that he won't be able to contain himself every single time.
He manages a really perky side.
Bruh. Ah, bra, as in a brassiere. Yeah, he loves a double pivot.
Yeah.
There's probably more jokes out there, which I'm sure we'll investigate in the coming months. God, we're fucking idiots. I love the one with one of the people that hate us but love Amy. They were saying how they hate this podcast because we go too far off topic sometimes. Don't know where they get that idea from. But anyway.
That is why I love this podcast.
Isn't that kind of what we do? I love it when people say, you guys don't do this enough. Like, we've never been any different.
No.
This is just what it is. Either it works or it doesn't work. You decide. You don't have to press play. You just stick to the broadcast, the good one. We don't care. So Villa, Bournemouth, yeah, they're optimistic. Brighton optimistic as always. They still can't believe the luck, right, Brighton? They still can't believe the superb football they play. Their brilliant manager. They can't believe the young players they bring in who we can't analyze because we don't know who they are, but they're going to be brilliant. I love that the optimism still surrounds Brighton this season.
Yeah. What about James Milner as well? Still gone.
Incredible, isn't it? Good for him.
Do you think that'll end well, though? With Milner at Brighton? Like, do you think how would figure it not, in?
Like a,
well, like I just like, do you think he'll play? Do you think he'll play, have a prominent role?
I think he's going to have to play a role in the dressing room as well, on the pitch. And I think it helps as well because he's coming from a club that plays great football, Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And Brighton's very similar as well, the way that they like to play. So I think he'll fit in, no problems with him. Will he play, 30-odd, 40 games? No, I can't see it. But I think he'll play a role, that's for sure.
I thought you were referring to a sex scandal.
But they brought in Pedro. So
fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So some of these players that they brought in, guys that, again, please correct me. Like, if you guys know anything about these players, you go right ahead. I know the bare minimum about these players, but I bet they're really good because it's Brighton. It's what they do. João Pedro from Watford. Actually, I know a little bit about him. He was very good at Watford, 34 million. Yeah. Got a new keeper in Bart Verbruggen from Anderlecht. Igor from Fiorentina. He's a centre-back. Of course he is. If your name's Igor, just Igor, you can't just be anything Igor? But a centre-back. Yeah, just Igor. You couldn't be a scheming midfielder, could you?
Yeah.
No.
But then his last name, what's his last name? Julio?
He just says Igor.
It's just Igor.
No, it's Igor Julio. So he can be a midfielder if he puts Julio on the back.
Wait, are you just making up the fact that
he's got Igor,
Julio?
He'll be a center back.
It's a great point, isn't it? Yeah. They should have that. Actually, if they get numbers, it should be the name should differ depending on where they're playing on the pitch. Mahmoud Daoud, from Borussia Dortmund as well, another interesting signing. But I tell you, to replace McAllister and replace Robert Sanchez, even the goalkeeper, who was great last year, Craig. And of course, Casado's on his way out. I mean, they are enormous holes to fill. And plus, De Zerbi, you've got a feeling that if we saw it last year with Graham Potter, if a big club gasses their manager early in the season, De Zerbi's going to be right up there, isn't he? As first choice, you would think.
Yeah, they've got that to worry about, but they've been there before. That's just the nature of the club, and that's the size of the club that they're willing to work with it. But every time they shift off a manager, they seem to make 10 or 20 million off it. So that's not bad.
Good business model, that's for sure. I see Chelsea fans here. Chelsea fans are optimistic. 92%. I wonder if they can name their starting 11. It's crazy. God. I don't know what that team... That team could be a world beater or they could be in the relegation. I have no freaking clue.
No. The women will do the well, though. Again.
Yes,
we have three Canadians playing for them.
Yep.
Of course, we're talking about the Premier League right now.
Well,
I didn't even say it. Craig Forrest.
I know.
You had that look on your face.
We're reading each other's thoughts now, Forrest.
Yeah, that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, but Chelsea are going to do well.
So what do you think about Chelsea this year? The men's team. What do you think about Chelsea this year, really? I mean, there's no doubt there's great talent coming in. Already Nwanku, though, he's out for a few months with a knee injury, which is a real shame. They've got a great manager in Pochettino. They're going to finish top half, obviously. Well, I say obviously, probably. Can they make a run for the top four?
I'm not sure about that. Isn't this the fifth year in a row they've started the season with a different manager? I think it is.
Wow. I don't know, but that sounds about right.
It's nuts.
It's crazy. You don't know with this. You never know with Chelsea. You don't have a clue. Look at the money that they spent the most in the Premier League last year, and they stunk. And now the new manager spent more money. You don't know what they're going to do. You have no
idea. Sold, though. They sold so many, too. Out, Havertz, Mount, Kovacic, Loftus-Cheek, Koulibaly, Ampadu, Pulisic, Mendy, Emerick Aubameyang, Azpilicueta, Kante. That's just a few of them.
That's amazing. Mendy and Kante went to Saudi Arabia. Mendy's fallen on his feet there. He's
for money reasons. No kidding. Koulibaly as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, what does fallen on his feet mean? He's landed on his feet, or what are you saying? Is this positive or is this negative?
It's good for him.
He's fallen on his feet. Okay.
What, Mendy? Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
No, that's right, though. I think it's the right saying, but it's good to ask the question, Dubs.
I've never heard it said that way.
I guess you do want to land on your feet, ideally, don't you?
On his feet. Yeah. I wasn't being a dick. I was honestly like, what are you saying?
You're being a dick, Dubs.
Is this good or is this bad?
Double D. Maybe. Dubs the dick.
Okay, so that's Chelsea. All right. Arsenal, I mean, trying to be a little bit different to other podcasts. You want Arsenal previews. You know, they're really good. They signed some really good players. Can they close a gap enough on City to cause a problem, do you think, Jimmy, given what they did last year and how well they did it?
I think so. I think they've brought in some good pieces. Very good pieces. They look good. Even throughout preseason, I thought they looked very, very good. I like the way that they're playing. And I definitely think they're going to give Man City a run for their money this year.
I think that the depth was a massive problem for them that they've recognized. When you look at Saliba, was injured for the last 11 games. Tomiyasu as well was out.
Saliba, he's ridiculous, by the way. What a player. Yeah. Fucking
hell. They brought in Timber, they brought in Declan, they brought in Havertz. I think these are really good players. The goalkeeper, Rea, to challenge Ramsdale. Interesting. Turner, obviously the American number one, not fancied at all. And off he goes to Nottingham Forest.
What do you think there, Jimmy? Turner at Forest.
I like it. I like it. You know, and he seems, listen to his press conference and that, he seems like he's really keen on the move. And he's wanting to push for that number one spot and take it. He's a decent keeper.
He's a good pro. He's a good pro. He's a good human being as well. No problem there.
He's a pro and he's a good human being. Does that mean he's locked in as a number two? Does that mean
he's not going to give you any trouble? He's not going to give you any trouble.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a shit if they're a good human being or not. To me, it's all fiction, football, right? It's fiction. They're like comic books heroes. It doesn't really happen. I just enjoy watching them. If some guy raises lots of money for charity, well, that's nice. How many fucking goals did you score?
You're missing the big picture.
Am I?
I don't think he gives a shit about the big picture.
No, I really don't. I really don't. We've got a couple of tweets here from people.
If you're a manager, would you rather have a dick come in that's stirring the shit everywhere, causing all sorts of trouble? Or would you like somebody to come in and be a good professional, challenge, but give you no trouble?
Well, let me ask you, Craig, when your old team, West Ham, signed Pella Di Canio, were you concerned about his fascist roots?
Well, I didn't know question. He had a fascist roots then.
And then when you found out that he did you still like him?
When he did the Nazi salute when he went back to Italy, wasn't so great.
You must have known though when you went for a handshake and he was giving you a salute. something. Yeah.
Jeez. No, Harry didn't mind bringing in them because, let's face it, we didn't have the pocketbook at West Ham that most clubs did. So if he saw some value in somebody that was a bit of a problem at clubs, he would bring them in, no problem. Marisa Ruddock, bring him in. Paolo Di Canio, bring him in.
Yeah. But that, I think that also shows a little bit of confidence in a manager of who you are when Harry would take anybody, wouldn't he? All those like bad eggs that he thought are bad eggs in the Premier League. And Harry was like, fuck, I'll take them. Because he could work with them. He was a player's manager, wasn't he?
Were you a reclamation project, Craig, in Harry's eyes when he signed you?
Yeah. There's another one. Let's take them.
Those fucking Canadians, they got some mystery. They got some skeletons in their closet, haven't they?
Yeah. I might have been a brown paper bag, but I don't know about that.
Kerry, no official nickname, Kerry. Of the Supporters Club, of course, has some great questions here, including what's your favorite cheese? Which is got me thinking. I had an amazing camembert sandwich before I left Portugal yesterday, and it was life changing. I love my cheese, variety of cheeses, but I've got to tell you, camembert, it's so decadent, it's so rich. You can have it melted, not melted, on a baguette. By itself with some jelly. Oh my God, it's incredible. So I think camembert might be my go-to cheese.
Fucking hell, his breath must have been like a green bin.
No wonder you got sick on the plane.
No wonder nobody was sitting beside you. Well, that's what
I was empty seats. I was hoping it would act as a binding agent.
Oh, so
I hate going to the washing on the plane. So that worked. Success. Mouth like a green bin. That's amazing. I've heard that before. That's one of my favorites. Going to start using that.
What's your favorite cheese, Dubs?
Cashew cheese.
Oh, God, of course. What is the point?
It's delicious. It's like a soft cheese.
Belen.
Oh, fuck. Walked right into that one.
Oh yeah. Dear.
Jimmy smell like cheese a bit sometimes.
Any other, before we get back to the football, any other cheese suggestions here?
Parmesan is one of my favorite.
I like brie.
Brie's a nice cheese. It's a fine line between the brie and the camembert though, right? Isn't it?
Mm. Stilton. Nice. Oh,
a good sharp Stilton is amazing. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love a good blue cheese, actually. I wouldn't lie to you. I like a strong cheese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. JC? You know you want to get in there.
I'm lactose intolerant, but interesting that you mentioned camembert is basically virtually lactose free. So I could really have myself a sandwich with camembert and maybe some brie because it's also lactose free.
Is it really? Well, that is interesting.
No one else is lactose free? Cashew cheese.
Mm-hmm. And taste free.
There it is.
No, it's not taste free.
Really? It does taste. It's not just texture.
No, like, it tastes good.
Okay. No. That's good to hear. I'll give it a try.
Sponsorship opportunity. Mm-hmm. Cashew cheese. We're That's up right. for it.
Yep. Dubs looks really tired right now.
I'm fucking had enough.
Jimmy's going to get some head cheese.
Not to go far.
Kerry also asked, as we get distracted here, let's all give our prem picks for this campaign. Who'll finish in the top six? And in what order? We've got TonyBet.ca had this very bet. So the favorites to finish in the top six are City, obviously Arsenal, Liverpool at third, United, Chelsea and Newcastle. So Spurs, Villa, Brighton, not according to the odds, they're going to finish just outside the top six. So, you know, we're not going to hold you to this, guys, but do you have any disagreements with who will finish top six out of City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea and Newcastle?
No, I don't. I think that's I think I would have picked that myself.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty accurate. Pretty accurate. But we always get a surprise. Always get a surprise. And who will that be?
Who do you think the surprise team would be?
I think, well, last year we look at Brighton, they finished sixth, didn't they? I was, and
I think Newcastle was a surprise last year, to be honest with you, as high as they did.
Not top six, top four for sure.
But I would say, yeah.
What about Villa? Do you think that Villa could, we talked about Villa already, could they sneak in there?
Yeah, I like that's it. A good show. That's a good show.
I think they're the one. I think Villa's the one that could sneak in there. They could be the surprise package this year.
That's a dark horse.
Yeah. I bet all my vegan cheese on Villa.
All right. See, nothing to lose there, Dub, so you're good.
Yeah.
I'm going to smear it all on Villa.
You're getting delirious now, aren't you?
I know.
What an ass.
We're almost done. Actually, Scott Thompson, he asked us, can Newcastle remain ahead of schedule and a top six disruptor? Or will being in four competitions and maybe not such a surprise package see them take a step back? It's a good point, right? They are playing Champions League football for the first time in a very long time. So to maintain top four football, let alone, or top six, I think they'll do that, but top four and have a run in the Champions League, Craig, that's a challenge.
I think so. I think you're right. I think they're going to finish fifth or sixth and outside the top four because of it.
And who's that? Spurs?
Newcastle.
Newcastle. What do you guys think about Big Ange at Spurs? Do you think they get a bump?
That's a great question. I like Big Ange. He's very impressive, right? When he speaks, he's one of those guys you just listen because he's got that booming voice, a presence about him. No one backed him at Celtic, did they? When he came there, he'd be coaching in Japan and Australia and just straight away got that club just turned around. He could be the surprise package, Spurs.
Everybody turns their career around when they go to Scotland.
Yeah. Brendan Rodgers twice, maybe.
Yeah. Gerard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I hope he does well. You know, if Spurs spend the Kane money well, they've already brought in James Maddison. That's a great signing. They might be a surprise package. I mean, I'm not talking, you know, title winner here, but they might find a way to sneak back into the top four. But they better replace Kane somehow with a couple of decent players, right? And that's in the past, they've shown they can't do that. The Gareth Bale money was just frittered away.
Frittered.
It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. I do think Newcastle added some good pieces, though.
You keep saying all these pieces without naming the pieces.
Give us some pieces there, Jimmy.
You're talking about
Harvey Barnes.
Good piece.
Sandro Tonali.
Great piece.
And Livermento from Southampton.
Liver.
Livermento. It'd be like the worst Mentos in the back.
Liver. Would you like a Livermento?
That would give your breath a green bin allure, wouldn't it?
They wouldn't sell, would they? They just wouldn't sell.
They would not be the fresh maker.
Imagine pitching that at the board meeting. We've got a new flavor. We think it's doing really, really well. You ready for this? Liver.
One word. Liver.
So stupid.
Liver Minto is my new favorite player.
Me too.
It's brilliant. Oh, Livermento. They also got Yakuba Minte. Yakuba Minte. What is going on here? What's happening? Newcastle.
They're going to be a really fresh side. Oh, my Christ.
Oh, my God. Livermento and Minte. Wow. But... but they haven't sold to they lost San Maximum to Saudi Arabia. Chris Wood
to Forest
for 17 mil.
Yeah.
Chris Wood should play at Forest.
Yeah. 17 million.
I can't believe he gets it.
Yes, Wood at Forest, yep.
Yeah. He's a club meant for him.
And you were Chris talking about a special package. It'd be Chris Wood.
If Chris Wood falls in the forest, but no one's watching, does he actually fall?
Don't know, but he has wood.
Yeah. Gets good little shots.
He plays upright.
Good attacking thrust.
I would love to see him in a dress room. At ease, soldier. At ease.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but you know what? But they haven't actually spent crazy yet, Newcastle. They're still waiting, right? They're doing it the right way, it seems. They're spending lots of money. Listen, Harvey Barnes, 44 mil. Tonelli was, what, 70 mil or something close to that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're good. They're pretty good. All right. Anything else you want to get to before we get to footy picks? Any more liver jokes, mints, wood, anything? All out?
Yeah.
All out.
All right. All right. So let's get to some footy picks, shall we?
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
DJ Melody.
It's footy picks. It's footy picks. It's footy picks.
Thanks. Thanks.
You've
done too. Okay, so we are going to... I'm just being logged out here, damn it. Hang on. This is for TonyBets.ca. We're going to do our weekly parlay, but we'll keep it just Premier League today, okay? First weekend of the season. So I hope you've got your games up there. I will punch in the bets once I log back in here. Bear with me. I can't type. Jesus Christ. I'm the worst under pressure typer in the history of typing. Oh, fucking hell. Hang on. Feel free to fill the dead air there, guys. Thanks.
It's part of putting you under pressure.
I guess it is.
You want a couple of games? I'll give you a couple of games.
Let's hear
I don't want to. I want one.
Arsenal 3-0 over Nottingham Forest.
Okay, so.
Oh, yeah?
Jax has taken Arsenal over Forest.
Wow. Forest. That was my game.
Wow, guys, you're really going out on a limb here, aren't you? By the way, Wonga, who is absent today, screwed us last weekend, Dubs. It wasn't you. We all crushed it. He screwed it with the first game of the weekend as well. I forget what it was now. Do you remember?
It was Forge. It was Forge against
Cavalry. It was
Cavalry.
Forge. That's right. It was Forge.
And so, they lost 3-0. He's like, Craig's taking Arsenal. Sure bet.
Yeah. Minus 526. Thanks, Craig. Over Forest. So that's the first bet of the parlay on TonyBets.ca.
Yeah, I've got one for you. Bournemouth over West Ham.
Attaboy. That's more like it, Jimmy. Plus 170.
Stick it up your ass, Brennan.
Plus 170. Jimmy's got Bournemouth over West Ham. A shocker to start the weekend, although not much of a shocker. West Ham on the road at plus 162. So only slight favorites there. Dubs, what do you have?
Sticking to the Prem, obviously. I'm going to go France over Australia.
Thank you. Okay. You can if you like. You want to do that?
No, I'm not going to do that. Liverpool over Chelsea.
Ooh, the Casado Derby.
That's right.
Hey, it's plus money. Plus 146 they're paying on the road. There's favorites over Chelsea, which is surprising. JC, Wonga is absent. Do you want to fill in for him?
Yeah. So we got, it's actually the Wonger JC Derby with Brentford and Spurs. But I think I'm going to go, I think Wonger and I can come to a, I'm going to go with a draw. And that,
okay.
For who? Which is for, well, thank you. But it pays plus 262, which is pretty good.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. That's a good one. That's interesting.
I like that.
All right, let me take a look here. Okay, here's one for you. So the Blades, Sheffield United, promotion club, up against Crystal Palace. Roy Hodgson still in command there. They've lost Will Zaha.
Zaha's history.
You always get a bit of a result, right, in the first game back in a new league. And the Blades aren't strangers to the Premier League. They're playing plus 212 in this one, at home as well. I like the Blades against Palace. I think this could be a long year for Palace. Mm. I've got a suspicion. So there's some value there. So, okay, we have Arsenal over Forest. We have Bournemouth over West Ham. We have Liverpool beating Chelsea. We have Brentford Spurs draw. And we have Sheffield United over Crystal Palace. Parlay them together, you get odds on TonyBet.ca of plus 8,827. We'll put our weekly $5 down on that. And we can win $446.35.
Yes. Vegas,
that's a
baby.
Lot of
Vegas.
Cashew cheese. I'm so excited.
We're eight wins and two losses, and we've come up with nothing.
Only because of two people letting us down, though.
That's right.
It's a long season. By the way, all these games, as you know, you can get on FuboTV.com. Subscribe now, FuboTV.com/ Footy Prime throughout the entire season. Premier League football every single week, plus Canadian Premier League. Jimmy, how many games are you on this weekend?
On Sunday, I've got the match of the week. Because I'm actually leaving in 10 minutes to go to Ottawa because my son's got a tournament up there.
Oh, nice.
And then I'm back Sunday morning, and then Pacific plays Ottawa at 4:30 on Sunday, which should be a good match.
Mm. And Dubs, your next job is at what time tonight?
The Merriman Ingham Derby, right?
Merriman Ingham Derby, Nice.
I'm very interested in that game.
Is that what it's called? I bet you are. Where's your money on that one there, Dubs?
I think, given recent form, I think you have to put it on Atletico.
Oh.
Nice. Look at you. Mm-hmm. I thought you were footed out and just could focus on the Women's World Cup.
Lots of space in this year, coconut, James Sharman.
Nice one. Glad to hear. When are you back on the airwaves?
That will be, I believe, 3 a.m.?
See, that's tough. So you haven't slept, so you're going to be going to bed straight after this?
That's the idea.
Will you be successful?
2:30 a.m.
Do you think?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. So you'd just nap here and there throughout the day until 3 a.m. and you're going to be a disaster by tomorrow is what you're saying.
Yep.
And then you're back home for a couple of days?
Back home for a couple of days and then back for the semis.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
When you do go home between games, I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel like just a zombie still? When was the last time you felt like Dubs?
Oh, I actually felt pretty good when I went home last time. We were up at the cottage for my dad and my brother's birthday. They share a birthday on August 9th. So we were all up at the cottage and that was great. And I felt good. And I slept normally, you know? Like, that's always the fear is, like, you're on these weird schedules and then, like, when it is time to sleep, then you don't sleep. But I've been able to sleep, so that's been good.
You get lots of exercise, and I think that helps.
Yes. I would like just a Craig Forrest voice, like, throughout my day, just to chime in with, like, a PSA. I would love that. I would pay good money for that.
But, I mean, the working out does help, right? Like, you have to work out in these situations, I would imagine.
Yeah. I think it helps to sort of reset the circadian rhythms.
Yeah. Is that a real thing or is it bullshit?
No, it's a real thing.
I feel like shit and I'm not exercising and I'm watching all these games during the middle of the night. So it's just something to it.
But you know what else helps too is getting outside and getting your eyes exposed, like without sunglasses, to natural light, early morning light, and then light just before the sunset.
Okay.
That's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's science. That's not like old wives' tale stuff. That's like scientifically proven.
Yeah, but science is there to be proven wrong, right? So maybe a symbol will prove
it
wrong.
Stop it.
Anyway, happy birthday to the Walshes, by the way.
Thank you.
A nice little get together there with Jim and Cindy and Brenda and Brandon. It was fun.
Ian and Chris, my dad and brother.
Happy birthday, Ian and Chris.
It's too many.
All right, everyone. That's it. Dubs needs to get some sleep. Jimmy's going to Ottawa.
I'm sorry for the giddiness.
Craig, what are you doing before we leave? Anything, many plans today?
I'm going to get some exercise.
It wasn't a loaded question. I was honestly interested.
I'm going to open my blinds.
That will help.
He's going to put his robe on and smoke his pipe.
Yeah, watch it go around the house terrifying the cats.
I might feel better if I open my blinds.
There you go.
All right, everyone. That's Footy Prime. Enjoy the Prem this weekend, everyone. Enjoy the Women's World Cup. We'll return on Monday and keep tabs on the broadcast. If you haven't listened to it, make sure you do. It's must-listen podcast material, and they'll get back to it before the semifinals. You heard it here. We decided that earlier in the show. It's Footy Prime. Keep buying newspapers. Drive safe, Wonger.
Follow us on Twitter at footy_prime and on Instagram at footyprimeig.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.